You're listening to Utah's Morning News with Tim Hughes and Amanda Dixon
on KSL News Radio,
102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning, KSL News Time, 7:30.
KSL's top story this hour.
Some people in parts of Garfield County are being told to prepare to evacuate this morning because of a crack in the Panguitch Lake Dam.
Emergency workers were at the site of the dam all night long. KSL News Radio's Mark Jackson begins our team coverage.
A flash flood watch was issued last night after a crack was found on the top 2 feet of the dam that flows from Panguitch Lake.
We've noticed that there's some transverse cracking across the dam.
Garfield County Sergeant Tom Talbot says the damage seems to have come from ice in that top portion. Deputies say damage to the dam is not yet severe enough to warrant immediate evacuations. Just to be on the safe side, they've closed a stretch of SR 143 and access to Panguitch Lake. An evacuation map was released last night, and deputies say it is important for nearby residents make sure they have emergency kits to include water, food, medication, and important documents. Mark Jackson, KSL News Radio.
Dam failures have happened in Utah in the past, and KSL News Radio's Michael Commit continues our live team coverage. Michael?
Tim, what we're seeing near Panguitch isn't as new to Utah and neighboring states as you'd suspect. Most recently, the 21-mile dam failed in Elko County, Nevada, back in February of 2017. Montella was flooded, but we only saw road damage in Utah's extreme northwest. But what was definitely more noticeable was the lob detention dam break back in 2012. Severe storms and rain led up to the dam failure, and many homes, businesses, and roads paid the price. Now, fortunately, nobody's died from a dam break since the 80s. Reporting live, Michael Commit, KSL News Radio.
The International Olympic Committee kicks off its tour of Utah's venues for the 2034 Winter Games today. KSL News Radio's Peter Johnston begins our live team coverage. Peter?
Amanda, Olympic officials want to see firsthand how Utah's infrastructure looks a decade out from the Games, and they're going to get a show. First, they'll take a seat in a Rice-Eccles Stadium at the University of Utah for the opening presentation this morning, and then they'll board a special tracks train that runs from Fort Douglas to the Delta Center, according to a news release from the Games Committee. Over the next couple of days, the officials will visit all the legacy Olympic sites, including Snow Basin, Soldier Hollow, and the Olympic Oval in Kearns. Their tour wraps up on Saturday. Reporting live, Peter Johnston, KSL News Radio.
Downtown Salt Lake City took on a golden hue overnight and early this morning.
The transformation of those buildings is all part of the effort to showcase Utah to the International Olympic Committee.
Lighting up the buildings downtown in gold in celebration of course, with the Olympics, the gold medal, the top spot. And we continue to be optimistic that Utah will be the top spot for the 2034 Winter Games.
Salt Lake Chamber President and CEO Derek Miller says those buildings will continue to be lit up through Saturday while the IOC members are in town for a final evaluation before awarding the Games. Don Brinkerhoff, KSL News Radio.
More news involving the Olympics this morning. Track and field is set to become the first sport to introduce prize money at the Olympics. The prize money will come out of the share of Olympic revenue that the IOC distributes to World Athletics and other governing bodies of individual sports. Track and field gold medalists will get $50,000 across 48 events. Relay teams will split the $50,000 between members. Payments for silver and bronze medalists are planning to start happening, I guess, at the 2028 Games in Los Angeles. That's exciting.
Yeah, and some people would say long overdue.
Yeah.
But I just wonder how much of this may have been influenced by the NIL of college athletes, who are going to be largely those that are competing in these events.
Right.
They're getting paid to play whatever their sport of choice is on campus, so why not do it when you're representing your country? Our top national story this hour, House Speaker Mike Johnson delaying the articles of impeachment against Homeland Security's Alejandro Mayorkas until at least next week.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says he's ready to go when the articles of impeachment are transmitted from the House. He says he's going to try to resolve this as quickly as possible.
As I've said in the past, it's absurd, and there are no charges in the House complaint that rise to the level of impeachment.
Democratic Senator Chris Murphy says he expects the trial to be dismissed. Perry Russom, ABC News, Washington.
First look traffic now, and here is Andy Farnsworth.
Right now, traffic backed up on Bangor, coming down the hill in Taylorsville towards 4700 South because of a crash. We've got increasing delays on Redwood Road, 2100 North in Lehigh, SR-201 heading east through Magna, and some I-15 slowdown creeping in between the south end of Ogden and Riverdale and Roy. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
A child tax credit bill is stalling in the U.S. Senate after some major changes.
This bill builds on the $78 billion Tax Relief for American Families and Workers Act. It passed in the House shortly after the year started. It would increase the child tax credit, multiplying it on a per-child basis and adjusting the credit amount for inflation. Idaho Senator Mike Crapo helped start the bill, but after changes to allow unemployed parents to cash in on the credit, he's killing it. He said the change transforms the credit from a working family tax relief into a government subsidy. Senator Mitt Romney is also opposing the bill, saying it will end up being another, quote, hugely expensive entitlement program. Alexandria Bonilla, KSL News Radio.
Almost half of all caregivers in Utah are reporting emotional and financial stress. KSL News Radio's Emma Keddington has more.
Utah's unpaid family and friend caregivers balance a lot, and according to a new report from the Kim C. Gardner Institute, they're feeling the effects. 4 in 10 caregivers report feeling stressed financially and experience mental health concerns. Many need to make changes in how they work. More than a third of caregivers need to work virtually because of the care they provide for a loved one. Many indicate that government-funded financial support would be helpful.
The report says family members jumping in to help the primary caregiver can help reduce the workload and the stress.
The former treasurer of a homeowners association is facing jail time now for embezzlement.
Sharon Gordon pled guilty to stealing more than $230,000 while she was the treasurer for the Lava Bluff HOA. A release from the United States Attorney's Office says Gordon diverted funds directly to her personal account, wrote checks to herself and her boyfriend, and then forged the signatures of other board members and deposited HOA checks representing member fees directly into her own account. In addition to spending a year and a day in home confinement, Gordon is required to pay nearly $80,000 in restitution. Don Brinkerhoff, KSL News Radio.